Good morning. How's everybody this morning? Huh? Beautiful day. good day to be in the house of the Lord. In fact, every day is a good day to be in the house of the Lord. Of course, for some announcements, things to remember. I'm not going to read all of it, but the pew Bible's there, and if you would still like, and I think there's still a few available for to put in memory of, so if you would do that. Annie Armstrong Mission Offering, we'll continue to take that through Easter. There are envelopes in the back there if you haven't already gotten one. Vacation Bible School Volunteer Meeting, this right after church, right?
Yeah, no, there you are. Okay.
Michelle's running that, so we'll that. And then there's a note here on Rick Turbin's funeral service, which will be Tuesday at Mid-Atlantic Community Church in Gambrills, Maryland. So there's a note on that. And then, of course, he will be buried the following day, Wednesday, in Alexandria. Deacons and WMA meetings Tuesday the 8th at 7 p.m., and then the Children and Youth Easter Celebration will be Saturday the 12th, 2 to 4. All ages are welcome. Parents are welcome to stay or drop off the children. There will be crafts, games, devotion, sign-up sheet to fellowship hall. See Michelle Jenkins with any questions. Is there any other announcements, anything you might have to? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your presence this morning, this hour of worship and praise. We've come to give ourselves unto you, and we've come to acknowledge you as the one true living God, the one who has given us life, the one who sustains our lives, and the one that has saved our lives through your Son, Jesus Christ. And as we go through this service now, we be intent upon listening to what you have to say to us, and that we'll go out of here as obedient servants, for we come in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Our God is the Lamb, the Lamb. sing it through two times. Stand and sing, please. Thank you, Lord. We'll sing this one through a couple times also.
Good morning, everybody. I hope everybody's doing well on this beautiful day. Let the kids come. As he said, let the children come. All right, we're going to sit down here with Michelle because there's an empty chair. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. You can sit where you want. We have lots of room. We have lots of room. How's everybody doing? Hey, I was going to talk about what Pastor Hughes is going to talk to the adults about, and about how we should not judge others, but more importantly, that I think the message is not be a hypocrite. But I figured that's a tough word for you guys, and I can't even spell it, so I'm going to do something different. You got a question already? You missed me and hope I had a good week? I did. Thank you. Hey, so, no, I'm not going to teach you a lesson about being bad today. So, this morning, Jack and I were outside swinging and on the playground, and it was really windy. And he told me it's windy. And I said, how do you know? He said, because you told me, and I believe it, it's windy. And then he said, but it's okay, God is right next to me. And I got thinking, wow, that's a good thing to talk about today. Because it is a windy day, isn't it? How do you know it? How do you know it's the wind you feel?
Because you feel cold.
Yeah, you feel it when it's cold. Why?
It's because the trees are blowing and everything like that.
You can see good things, right? You see with your eyes what the wind is doing, so you can't see the wind, but you know it's at work. You are so right. But the same thing is true with God. Jackson told me that God's next to me and he's with me. And he's right. How do we know God's with us all the time?
Because he's up in the sky.
Well, he's up there, yeah. But how do we know he's watching us and taking care of us? Because we can see good things all around us. Isn't that right? We see good things all around us every day. So we know God's at work. And we also have a book called the Bible that teaches us all the good things and teaches us about Jesus and teaches us about God. Sometimes we have to have what's called faith. We just have to believe in our hearts and in our minds what's going on. Like, I've never been to Africa, but I take somebody's word that Africa's real and Africa's exist. I have faith. Someone told me Africa is real, and I believe it, and I've studied it, and I've read it. Well, the same's about Jesus. Someone told me it's true, and I've read about it, and I believe it, and I have faith that Jesus is all around us every day. So on this windy day, when you guys are outside playing this afternoon, I want you to look at the wind, or not actually see the wind, but see it's blowing the trees and the leaves. And I want you to know that it's real, and I want you to know that Jesus is real, and he's with you all the time. Okay? Can I say a little prayer? Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, on this windy day, we give thanks for all that is good. And we know that just like the wind, you are all around us. You're always there, and you're always protecting us. Help us be good this week. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, guys, you have a good day. And did I hear that one of the kids had a birthday this week? Is it Jeb? So now Jeb's too big to come sit up front with me? Happy birthday. Is it this week or next week? Friday? A happy birthday, my friend. Hey, I hope everybody's doing well. Just want to let everybody know I went, and actually Jack went too. We went and visited with Gloria yesterday. She's been in the hospital.
She's still there.
She was as of yesterday afternoon. She said she doesn't know if she'll get to come home today or tomorrow. But she was doing really well and had a room full of family. In fact, if you've ever been to Rappahannock General, you start walking down the hall, you can hear people laughing. It was one of those rooms. So she was blessed to have that. I know Priscilla is home and recovering and doing well. And Steve, it's good to see you in church today. Dwayne, good to have you here too. Hope you've been doing well. It's a blessed day. There are some people going through some tough times, so let's keep them in our hearts and prayers, especially for Drew and her family as they're going through the funeral service this week. Brenda, how's Ann and Joe doing? Anything? No, not doing well. I'm sorry to hear that, but we'll continue to lift them up, and we're happy to have you here today. Anybody else that we need to put on our prayers?
Warren has bronchitis.
Warren has bronchitis? Gee whiz, I am so sorry to hear that. I know that's not a fun thing, no matter your age, right? So we will keep him in prayer. Anything else that the pastor should be aware of? All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time to be together. We thank you for this church. We thank you that we have this church, but to know not only is just the building, but it's each and every one of us make up this church and make up the fellowship. We thank you for this fellowship, and we thank you the way that has been brought together. That is through your Son, Jesus Christ. We are all brothers and sisters with him and joint heirs in your kingdom, and we look for the day that we will all be reunited in that kingdom. And we thank you for all the wonderful things that you do for us each day. We thank you for the food that you put on the table. We thank you for the clothes on our back. We thank you for the roof over our head. And we thank you for those that are still working that have the work to provide the means to take care of ourselves. And help us as we go each day to be mindful of those around us that are in need. We know there are those that are hungry. We know there are those that need clothing. We know there are those that need a home. And where we can, help us to be sensitive to touch them in ways to help them and then give us the opportunity to share the gospel. And we pray, Father, for those among us that are ill today, those that are suffering from sickness and disability. We pray your healing hand would be upon each of those, be with those in the hospital and the care that they're receiving. It's the kind of care that you watch over. And we pray for those that have recently lost loved ones and the times that they need your comfort and your care through these difficult times. And help us now as we go through this service and as we listen to what you have to say to us and to discern your word and discern the truths from it, and that we use it in a ways that we apply to our lives and to witness to others. This we all pray in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.
Okay, I offer to our hymn this morning, hymn number 329, that's Power in the Blood. We'll sing the first two verses. Stand as we sing.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come today, to come to give of our means that you have given with, we bless so much with. We give a portion back that it be used to further your work in this kingdom of yours, to reach more people for Jesus Christ and to help more people in need and to support the ways that this church goes, that it become a light unto the community. And this we all give in the holy and precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What is his name we give. Amen.
Thank you. The critical spirit.
A salesman visiting his barber for a haircut mentioned that he was about to take a trip to Rome. The barber who came from Italy said, "Rome is a terrible, overrated city. What airline are you taking and what hotel are you staying at? When the salesman told him, the barber criticized the airline for being undependable and the hotel for having horrible service. He told him, you'd better be off just to stay home. But the salesman insisted, I'm expecting to close a big deal and then I'm going to see the Pope. The barber shook his head and said, you'll be disappointed trying to do business in Italy, and I wouldn't count on seeing the Pope. He only grants audiences to very important people. 2 months later, the salesman returned to the barbershop. The barber asked, how was your trip? The salesman replied, wonderful. The flight was perfect. The service at the hotel was excellent. I made a big sale, and I got to see the Pope. The barber was astonished. You got to see the Pope? What happened? He said, I bent down and kissed his ring. No kidding. And what did he say? Well, he looked down at my head and then he said to me, my son, where did you ever get such a lousy haircut? There are those who are always ready to criticize others, always pointing the finger at others, always finding fault with everything. They fail to see their own imperfections. Jesus said criticizing is a sin. So we're going to look at don't be a criticizer today as we're going to look at Matthew chapter 7 verses 1 through 5. So if you turn to your Bible there, and of course they have outline in your bulletin. But Matthew chapter 7 verses 1 through 5. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Don't criticize. That's talking about fault finding. Being picky. Always trying to find fault with somebody. Always carping. Always finding fault with everything. I don't know if you know people like that. I'm going to tell you, they're the kind you want to stay away from. You don't want to get too close. You get tired of listening to that stuff real quick. But this does not prohibit discernment. Doesn't say we should never express an opinion of others. You know, when we see people that are actually in sin, we see people that are doing things that's called discernment. Matthew 7:20 says, wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. Jesus says we shall know them by their actions. We can examine them and see what they do. It's not difficult to say if a man's robbing banks, he's a bank robber, you know, that kind of thing. Or if the man beats his wife and kids, you can point that out. That's discernment. We should be able to discern between false and true prophets. Knowing who is preaching the truth and who is not. The world is full of false prophets today. A lot of that is unfortunate. Not all of it, but some, a lot of this stuff you see on TV, these TV evangelists, if you look at it and examine it real close, they're after your money. And that's the prime motive. I see where some wealthy evangelist from another country, I forget his name now, I saw it on the news this morning, he's got a building for sale, some condominium, like $14.5 million. He's dropped the price some. Where did they get that kind of money? I took a cut when I went into ministry. You should be able to discriminate between true and false teachings. Examine what the teacher said. And in light of God's word, check it out. W.A. Criswell, one time I had, it was pastor of First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, years ago. It was there over 50 years. I got the opportunity to go there for a week to the School of the Prophets when I was in seminary. I got to take a week off and go down there for his School of the Prophets. And he said he always wanted people to check it out when he was preaching. He would refer to a scripture. He said he liked to hear those pages rustling in the Bibles. Check it out. I had a fellow one time in a church business meeting back some years ago, one of my churches, and fellow got up and he said, "I know Reverend Hughes is telling the truth." He says, "I go home and I just don't take him at his word. I check it out." Check it out. Should be able to detect error. Should be able to detect and eliminate heresy. And this, what Jesus is talking about, does not prevent moral judgments. Doesn't prevent you from serving on a jury. Now, I've always been able to get out of jury duty because I'm a pastor, and most times the judges feel that my time is better spent doing my work in the ministry than sitting in a courtroom. But my wife had to serve on jury. But that doesn't prevent us from that kind of judgment. Or making judgments about other matters, that we need to decide sometimes whether something is right or wrong. When a person makes a mistake, it is time for compassion and understanding. Not finger pointing. Not accusation. And I had to learn that early on as a pastor. When people come to me in confidence and share with me they've gotten into trouble. And I've had to learn to have compassion and try to help them to deal with it rather than, "How dare you? Why would you do such a thing? How stupid are you?" That kind of thing. You have to have compassion for them, have a heart for them to help them to work through it and get on the right path. A loving, humble person never has a critical spirit. Why some people tend to judge and criticize? Why do they do that? One, top of the list, to cover up their own faults. To boost their own self-image. To tear someone else down seems better. It adds to their own pride. And it builds up their own egos. When I'm better off than them. I know better than doing something like stupid like that. Some simply enjoy it. It's their nature. They're always hearing and sharing bad news and shortcomings of others. They just can't wait to hear something to get something on somebody that can go out and tell it. There were preachers at a lunch meeting, and it got into one of these confession sessions. So I've been, sometimes as pastors, we get into something and we'll share something. It doesn't go out of the room, but share some things that have happened personally in our lives, and talk about. Well, these preachers were at this luncheon. The first minister said he had lusted in his heart after beautiful women. Second one says, "I smoke. I sneak cigarettes now and then." Third one says, "I drink. I have a cocktail now and then." Fourth one says, "I'm a gossip, and I can't wait to get out and go tell somebody." It makes them feel better, being better than those who have failed. Points to show how strong they are. They didn't make the same mistakes. They're not that dumb. To some, it's an outlet for hurt and revenge. They feel others deserve it. You hurt me, then you deserve to be hurt also. The critical person expresses his or her own opinions without knowing all the facts. When you hear something, a lot of times you don't hear the whole story. You don't know the facts of the situation. You need to check it out. All facts and circumstances are never fully known. A fault finder is never a good fact finder. They're not going to get the facts first. They're going to go ahead and let it out. Everybody comes short. We all make mistakes. When we criticize, we forget that we ourselves are sinners. What does it say? All have sinned, all come short. Criticizing and judging others usurps God's authority. God is the judge. He's the one that makes the decisions. There are three things to think about before you say something about another. Is it true? Do you know it's a fact that it's true? Would you say it to that person, to their face? Would you say that you are correct? Is it necessary to say anything at all? Would it do good or would it be harmful? And is it kind? Does it uplift or does it tear down? There was a preacher one time had a method of dealing with those who were critical of others. He kept a complaint book in his desk. When a church member would come to tell him of another's faults, he would say, "Well, here is my complaint book. I'll write down what you say and you can sign your name to it, then I'll go and take it up with our brother." Invariably, the critic would stammer, backtrack, and insist that nothing be written or signed. In his 40-year ministry, that preacher opened his complaint book hundreds of times, but never made a single entry. Think about it. Are you willing to write out and sign the ugly things you have said about another? If not, perhaps it would be best to leave judgment where it belongs, with God. The criticizer will be judged. The criticizer will be judged for the very same things he criticizes. He brings condemnation on self before God. The criticizer will be judged by equal weight. But some scriptures warn that the criticizer will be even receive greater condemnation. James 2:13, "For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoices against the judgment." Luke 6:36-37, "Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven." The criticizer fails to examine himself. He looks for faults, never sees the faults in himself. There was a serviceman. He wrote about a moment he had witnessed in the Army. It happened during a company inspection at the Redstone Arsenal in Alabama. The inspection was being conducted by a full bird colonel. Everything had gone smoothly until the officer came to a certain soldier, looked up, down, and snapped, "Button that pocket, trooper." The soldier, more than a little rattle, slammed it, "Right now, sir?" "Of course, right now," was the colonel's reply. Whereupon the soldier very carefully reached out and buttoned the flap on the colonel's shirt pocket. The colonel had been quick to note the soldier's uniform problem and hadn't noticed his own. The faults of others seem to stick out like a missing tooth. Our own faults seem to be hard to spot. Small specks in others seem to be major, while the planks in our own eyes seem excusable. The criticizer is deceived about himself. He speaks unthoughtfully. A thinking person knows he is just as human as the next person and just as sinful. Judging others is overlooking one's own sins. Judging others is one of the greatest sins of all. Judging others exalts one as a god. The criticizer is not fit to be a judge. As much a sinner as the next person, the criticizer is weaker of the two. The criticizer does not examine himself. It was a man. He wanted to impress his friends with his eyes for art as they went to an art gallery together. He forgot his glasses. He was nearsighted and couldn't hardly see his hands in front of his face. Figured he could wing it with any abstract comments and observations he wanted to make. He approached a frame and began criticizing. "Why would anyone want to paint something so hideously ugly? I mean, it's a true rendering of the object, but why waste time with painting such a disgusting subject? Everyone was laughing by this time as his wife whispered in his ear, "John, it's a mirror." Judgment must begin each morning as we look into the mirror of God's Word. Our time is better spent dealing with our own shortcomings, then we won't have so much time to focus on the faults of others. The criticizer is a hypocrite. Shows one to be full of strife and empty of glory. Shows they fail to consider self and don't exhibit a spirit of meekness. Shows bitterness, anger, and evil speaking. A successful, wealthy builder had a faithful carpenter who worked for him for many years. The carpenter always hoped for more money for himself or to someday become a contractor. One day his boss came to him and said, "I'm going away on another project, but I want to put you in charge of a project in my absence. I want you to build me a dream home. Spare no expense. I trust your judgment. Make it as nice as you can imagine. I'll be back in 1 year to check it out." He thought to himself, "The nerve of that guy. Pay me peanuts all these years and then insults me with this kind of leadership, asking me to build his dream home. I'll show him." He proceeded to do a shabby job with cheap materials that would fall apart in a matter of a couple of years. The builder returned a year later and said, as he tossed him the keys, then he walked over and took the carpenter's hand and said, "Here it is, yours. You built it for yourself." You can build a life on the foundation of criticism if you want to, but sooner or later you'll have to live in that house that you build. His name was Teddy. By his own admission, he was an unattractive, unmotivated little boy, one of those that teachers find difficult to like and easy to judge as a problem child. A source of great frustration for his fifth grade teacher, Miss Thompson, who all day long faced his deadpan, unfocused stare. Although she loved all her students, Miss Thompson had to admit that deep down she didn't like Teddy as much as the others. She even received a certain pleasure in marking his papers with red ink and writing F's on them. She judged Teddy. However, as the teacher, she had his records and she knew more about him than she wanted to admit. First grade, Teddy shows promise with his work and attitude, but he has a poor home situation. Second grade, Teddy should do better. Mother is seriously ill. He receives little help at home. Third grade, Teddy is a good boy, but is too serious. He's a slow learner. His mother died this year. Fourth grade, Teddy is a slow but well-behaved. His father shows no interest in him. At Christmas, Ms. Thompson's class all brought her pretty gifts and gathered around to watch her open them. She was surprised when she received a gift from Teddy, crudely wrapped in brown paper and tape. When she opened it, out fell a gaudy rhinestone bracelet with half the stones missing and a bottle of cheap perfume. The other children began to giggle, but she had enough sense to put on the bracelet and apply some of the perfume to her wrist. She asked the class, "Doesn't it smell lovely?" When school was over and the other kids had left, Teddy lingered behind. He slowly came over to her desk and said softly, "Miss Thompson, you smell like my mother. And her bracelet looks real pretty on you, too. I'm glad you like my presents." When Teddy left, Miss Thompson got down on her knees and asked God to forgive her. The next day, when the children came to school, they were welcomed by a changed teacher. Miss Thompson's eye plank was gone, and she had been given a new vision to see how to help by the grace of God. By the end of the year, Teddy showed dramatic improvement and caught up with most of the other students. After that, she did not hear from Teddy for a long time. Then one day she received a note that said, "Dear Miss Thompson, I wanted you to be the first to know I will be graduating second in my class. Love, Teddy." 4 years later, she received another note, "Dear Miss Thompson, they just told me I will be graduating first in my class. I wanted you to be the first to know the university has not been easy, but I liked it. Love, Teddy. Finally, we received another note. Dear Miss Thompson, as of today, I am Theodore Stollard, M.D. How about that? I wanted you to be the first to know I am getting married next month, the 27th, to be exact. I want you to come and sit where my mother would sit if she were alive. You're the only family I have now. Dad died last year. Love, Teddy. Miss Thompson went to the wedding. God had removed the log in her eye, given her clear vision, and by his spirit in her had done something for Teddy that changed his life forever. And all this happened because one Christian stopped leaping to judge and looked to heal. Remember, we've all been judged. We're all sinners. We've all been condemned. The wages of sin is death. Jesus died to save us from our sins. Stop criticizing. It's difficult to rock a boat when you're busy rowing. Do you know him today? Do you know him is your Lord and Savior? Do you know you've been forgiven of your sin? Do you know what your destiny is in eternity? Next week is Palm Sunday. I'm going to preach on the cross. I title it The Crimson Flow. He took all of that we might be forgiven, and that through that we might love each other and understand each other, have compassion for one another, and help one another in need. And when one is in fault, to go help them and not be a fault finder. Do you know all that today? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus' teaching on this. And we pray that we will not be so quick to judge or to criticize others, but to realize when they have fallen into fault, that it's our duty and responsibility to love them and to help them through it and to get them back on the right path. And help us to stay on that right path. Help us not to be critics and judgers, but rather to be helpers. And we pray that anyone here today that has not received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior would do so today as we come in his holy and precious name. Amen. Number 330, are you washed into blood?